37. We'll read the first 8 verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they, the evildoers and workers of iniquity, shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of man who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. This is a psalm of David, written in his elderly years. We see in verse 25, he says, I have been young and now am old. So he's an elderly man as he writes this psalm. The specific occasion on which the psalm is composed is not mentioned. Throughout the psalm, there is a contemplation by David of the character and the designs and the seeming prosperity of the wicked. And the psalm is designed to meet and remove the perplexity that arises from such. This 37th psalm really arises out of the midst of turmoil and chaos. As you read through the psalm, you'll notice that unlike most of the psalms, there are no prayers of the psalmist, but rather just some practical wisdom from experience and age. It is a psalm that reflects the wisdom that David had gleaned from years of walking with God. Unlike most of the psalms, it's somewhat of a proverbial character. It deals with submission to God, deals with contentment in God, in doing right. And all of that is in the midst of aggressive wickedness. The psalm is full of exhortations, full of instructions, advice to the people of God. Intermixed are various encouraging promises of God. The 37th Psalm is basically a reminder that when things are not going well in our eyes, when the situation is not working out as planned, and when the enemy is making life more and more difficult, when everything seems to be spinning out of control, and when everything seems to be upside down, there is a God who has it all in his hand. And this psalm reminds us of that truth. The theme of the psalm is stated in the opening words. Fret not thyself. It is repeated again in verse 7 and again in verse 8. So the word fret occurs 3 times in the first 8 verses. And each time, of course, it's in the negative connotation. Fret not. And each time it's something that we do to ourselves. Fret not thyself. This is something we do to ourselves. Fret not thyself. The word fret conveys the idea, of course, of being anxious, being worried, being distressed. But it's more than that. It's a state. It's a state of anxiety. It's a state of agitation. It's a state of disturbance. It is a state of vexation. It is a state of complaining. It's interesting, but it comes from a root word, a Latin word, meaning to gnaw away, to wear or eat away. So the root word basically tells us the effects of fretting. It will gnaw away at you. It will wear and eat away at your spirit. This tells us it's of a corroding and decaying nature. In other words, it destroys. Fretting destroys. So it's no wonder that David wrote 3 times, "Fret not thyself." 3 times. And then he goes on in verses 3 through 8 to declare the alternative to fretting. How we can confront fretting. And then in verses 9 through 40, he basically gives the reasons for what is stated in verses 3 through 8. But this 37th Psalm is a very powerful and practical manual for life. In verses 1 and 7, it is fret not because of. Fret not because of. And that's our subject. Fret not because of. And this message is addressed to all of us because it is a problem that we all have. Some more than others, but it is something that we are very prone to do. It is something we do to ourselves often. And David says, fret not thyself. First of all, notice the surroundings of the psalmist. The setting of the psalm is one of wickedness and evil. The word wicked occurs 14 times in this 37th Psalm. The word evil occurs 3 times. The word evildoers occurs 2 times. The phrase workers of iniquity occur 1 time. And the word the transgressors occur 1 time. Now all of these are the enemies and the haters and the despisers and the deniers of God. They are the ones who rebel against God. They are the ones who disregard God, reject Him, dismiss Him, evict God from their lives. And we read in verse 12, the wicked plotteth. That is, they have schemes. They conspire and they devise against the just. In other words, they are an opposing force. It goes on to say, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. They are filled with hatred and resentment and rage toward the godly. In verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow. Their intent is to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. In verse 32, we read, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. So it appears from all of this that there is the hatred, there are the threats, and the defiance of the wicked against God's people. There was agitation and fury and wrath and outrage and resentment of the wicked, the evildoers, the workers of iniquity, and the transgressors against the people of God. In other words, these people are a menace to God's people. They are an obstacle to God's people. And they crowd our path. And they lurk in the path of life. They appear there day and day, night and night. Everywhere you go, they're there. They are a source of problems. They bring about many trials and difficulties in the lives of God's people. They can cause suffering. They can cause grief in the lives of God's people. And God's people are always exposed to the danger that these individuals are. In addition to all this, there is the prosperity and the ascension of the wicked and the evildoers and the workers of iniquity and the transgressors. The entire psalm is composed in an atmosphere that is perplexing to people of faith. That is the prosperity of the wicked. In verse 7, in the context of evildoers and workers of iniquity, we read, him who prospereth in his way. They were flourishing. They were thriving in their wicked, evil, and iniquitous ways. And that's troublesome to God's people. In verse 16, we read of the riches of many wicked. And in verse 35, David says, I have seen the wicked in great power. That is, I have seen them in positions of authority and influence and dominion. And he goes on to say, spreading himself like a green bay tree, which is a type of evergreen. So David says here, the wicked, not only do they prosper, and not only are they in positions of power, but they are like a tree spreading itself in every direction, sending its limbs and branches far on every side. Again, it conveys the idea of power and prosperity. In other words, these individuals were adding house to house, field to field. They were rising higher and higher, ascending in life, and extending their influence. And it is in this setting that the tendency for the child of God is merely to focus upon the suffering and difficulty of God's people, and the seeming prosperity and ease of the wicked, of the evildoers, of the workers of iniquity, of the transgressors, and lose sight of the Lord, resulting in an ongoing state of anxiety. You can hardly watch the news without fretting. I don't watch it much anymore because it does not help me. An ongoing state of anxiety and worry and distress. It's when we lose sight of the Lord and focus upon the wicked. We get agitated. We can become discouraged. And what does it do? It gnaws at us. It wears and eats away strength and spirituality. We see that Asaph dealt with the same issue in Psalm 73. Notice if we go over there. Psalm 73. He says in verse 3, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. He's in a state of fretting. Here's why. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. This is how it appears. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Walketh through the earth. That's spreading. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them, God's people. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And here's the conclusion that Asaph comes to. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. He goes on to say, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. There's that fretting. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. What he's saying there is, until I got my eyes upon God. And that's the cure for fretting. Life, of course, is full of details and scenarios and occurrences. And a lot of these things can happen at very inopportune times. A lot of these things can seem to happen all at once. And they can add up. And they can wear on us. They can stress us out. And our feet are almost slipped. And we, in other words, we lose our joy. And Satan gets the victory. And we fail to fulfill our purpose in life. We need to hear these words. Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Verses 1 and 7. Fret not thyself because of. Or for this reason. You know, everyone who frets thinks they have a good reason to do so. They'll say things, well, if you were in my shoes, you'd fret too. That may be so. Wouldn't make it right. But everyone thinks they have a reason. But the psalmist says, fret not because of. From verse 8, we see that fretfulness is not only an ongoing state of anxiety and worry and agitation, distress and discouragement, but it also involves a state of anger and wrath and revenge. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil or to get back at the wicked. And this brings us to the antidote to fretfulness. In the antidote, the remedy is, first of all, focus upon the Lord. Every one of us has been given the gift of life. And every one of us is living life. And every one of us is living life a certain way. And the way we live life depends upon our central focal point. The central focal point determines the nature and the manner of our life. You see, life has to have a purpose. It has to have a supreme thing. There has to be something that controls and dominates life. There has to be something that gives it meaning. So our focal point defines our motives, defines our reasons, it defines our viewpoint. In other words, our focal point shapes our life. Oh, we think this person or this or this, that's what shapes my life. No, that's not what shapes your life. What shapes your life is your focal point. If we are in a continuous state of fret, we have a wrong focal point. No exceptions. Notice the prepositions with regard to the Lord. In verse 3, in the Lord. In the Lord. In verse 4, in the Lord. In verse 5, unto the Lord. In Him. Verse 7, in the Lord. For Him. And there's more. But you get the idea. What's the focal point there? The focal point is the Lord. In verse 9, upon the Lord. Upon the Lord. God is the focal point. And throughout the psalm, we read such phrases, He shall. He shall. Speaking of God. In verse 4, He shall give thee. In verse 5, He shall bring it to pass. In verse 6, He shall bring forth. In verse 34, He shall exalt thee. In verse 40, He shall help, deliver, and save. Also, we read in verses 17 and 24, the Lord upholdeth. And in verse 18, the Lord knoweth. And in verse 28, the Lord loveth and forsaketh not. In verse 33, the Lord will not leave him, that is, his own. We also see the words, He is. Verse 26, He is ever mindful and lendeth. In verse 39, He is their strength in the time of trouble. What's the focus? The focus is God. That has to be the focal point. The way to escape an ongoing state of fret, the way to avoid an ongoing state of fret, is God focus. It's always the way. Now, it's easier said than done, but it's always the way. In other words, He's to be the influential force in our life. He says in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. The evildoers is not to be the influential force in our life. Fret not thyself because of. Fret not thyself because of politics. The politics is not to be the focus of our life. And you can put a lot of things on the other side of because of. Fret not thyself because of. And whatever it is you can put on the other side of because of, whatever it is you put on the other side of that, that becomes the influential force of your life. I fret because of this person. I fret because my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, the job, on and on and on we can go. But if that is the object of fretting, that has become the influential force in your life. And that's wrong. God is to be our focus. Again, we all fret. We do it all the time. Now we are exhorted here, so the focus is God. And then we are exhorted to act toward God. Our tendency is, fret not because of. Put whatever you want on the other side of. And our tendency is to act toward whatever's on the other side of because of. But this psalm teaches us, fret not, focus upon God, and act toward God. No matter what the wicked are doing, no matter what the evildoers are doing, no matter what the workers of iniquity are doing, no matter what the transgressors are doing, that is not to be your focal point. That is not to be the object you act toward. God is to be our focal point, and we are to act toward God. Now, in this psalm, there are 9 verses that begin with a verb, an action word. Verse 1, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, verse 27, verse 34, and verse 37. All begin with verbs. Something we are to do. In the context of the wicked, the evildoers, and so on. And what we are to do is based upon who the Lord is, and what He has promised. And this regardless of what follows because of. It says, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Those are words that are just kind of thrown around today in Christian circles. Trust in the Lord. That's always good advice. It's not a hollow slogan. It's not meaningless words. It's a course of action. It's a course of action that we take But before we can take that course of action, we have to get our focus upon God. Trust in the Lord. That means we have to recognize and acknowledge God. You can't trust Him until you recognize who He is and acknowledge who He is. He is our strength. He is our refuge. He's our help. Trust in the Lord. What that means is believe in God. Be persuaded in God. Have confidence in God. Rely upon God. Trust in the Lord. That means look to God, seek God, turn to God, flee to God. Take hold of God. Trust in the Lord. There's energy there. There's vibrancy. There's power in trusting in the Lord. There's an energy and a power that will raise you above the difficulties and the inconveniences and the circumstances and the trials and the obstacles and the impossibilities that you encounter. Trust in the Lord. That's faith. But this is what will keep you near to God. Trust in the Lord. This is what enables you to stand in the midst of the storm and say with Paul, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's trust in God. Fret not because of the storm, but rather trust in the Lord in the midst of the storm. Fret not because of people. Fret not because of circumstances, but rather trust in the Lord. Whatever the people, whatever the circumstances, trust in the Lord. And isn't it funny, not in a humorous way, that people will give reasons why they are justified in not trusting the Lord? You tell them, trust in the Lord. Well, you don't understand. Brother Dan, I've got this, 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 this. In other words, because of these things, I have every right to fret. Fret not because of, but rather trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And then notice what else it says. And do good. James 2 makes it very clear, faith and works go together. Trust in the Lord and do good. Fret not because of evildoers. Do not respond to evildoers with evil. But rather trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, it does whatever they're doing should have no bearing upon what you do. You trust in the Lord and do good. Well, I have every right to get back at them. I have every right to try to destroy them. No, you don't. Trust in the Lord and do good. You do what's right. And that begins by trusting in the Lord. When we take matters into our own hands, we're not trusting God. We're trying to fix it. We're trying to help God out. God doesn't need your help. Trust in the Lord. And do good. That's good advice. It cultivates obedience and faithfulness. So fret not thyself because of, put whatever you want on the other side of that, but trust in the Lord and do good. He goes on to say, delight thyself also in the Lord. Take pleasure in the Lord. How do you do that? Trust Him. I guarantee you, if you don't trust Him, you won't delight in Him. Delight in the Lord. That is, make God your joy. Make God your rejoicing of spirit. People will say, well, I'm unhappy because of, and the list will be long. And the list can go back decades. It's unbelievable. This is why I'm unhappy. No, it's not. That's not the reason why you're unhappy. The reason you're unhappy is because you do not trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Know that you find happiness in God. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what the wicked and the evildoers and the workers of iniquity and the transgressors do, and however they may seem to prosper, and however you may seem to suffer, delight thyself in the Lord. You may not be able to delight yourself in your circumstances, but you can delight yourself in God. Delight thyself in the Lord. He goes on. Again, our text is, fret not thyself because of, delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. There's an ascending here. These are all connected. I don't believe you do one without doing the other. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Our way is inclusive of every aspect, every detail, every circumstance of our lives. It's inclusive of our manner of living. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That is, entrust your way to the Lord. Let go of your way. Hand it over to God. Relinquish all claims upon your life. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It's yielding the totality of our being and life to God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. This means that God's throne is established in our hearts. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That means we live in light of His ownership, His authority. It means we live in submission to Him and obedience to Him. We live for His honor and His glory. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It is telling God, take every aspect, every detail of my life. I'm not holding anything back. I give it all to you. This person over here irritates me. This person over here causes me to fret. This circumstance over here causes me to fret. Let go of it and give it to God, is what the psalmist is saying. And God's people protest. Oh, but you don't understand. It's like they don't want to let go. And I honestly believe that. There are people today who don't want to let go of anything because it's an excuse for their miserable life. Commit thy way unto the Lord. We live in a day, of course, of self-centeredness. Self-confidence, and oh, how we need to hear and feel the pressing urgency of these words. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Our trust and our delight is to be so thorough, so comprehensive, so exhaustive, so deep-seated that this is the result. We commit our way unto the Lord. You have to trust Him first and delight in Him. And when you do those two things, you'll commit unto God. Quit using people and circumstances as an excuse. Do what these verses say. And he goes on to say, commit thy way, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, and then he repeats, trust also in Him. Trust also in Him. That is, as you commit, keep on trusting God. Keep on trusting the Lord. It is a failure in continual trust that interferes and disrupts commitment. Again, our text says, fret not thyself because of. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Give your life to God, regardless of, because of. And this is not just a one-time action. It's commit, 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 commit. Trust, 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 trust. Must be ongoing. He goes on to say, rest in the Lord. Again, rest here is something we do. Rest in the Lord. Be calm. Isn't that what we are when we rest? We're calm. Rest in the Lord. Be calm in the Lord, which is the opposite of fret. Rest in the Lord. Be calm in the Lord. We can be calm regardless of what's going on in the Lord. But here's how bad it's gotten. If you happen to be calm in the midst of a crisis when everyone else is falling apart, you will be accused of not caring. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten. In other words, we have every right to be beside ourselves here and to be out of our mind because of what's happening. But David says, be calm in the Lord. Again, let's be honest. There are circumstances I can't be calm in. There's no way. But I can be calm in the Lord. So again, he's our focus. What it means is be still in the Lord. Well, I've got to do something. I've got to fix this. We've got to come up with a plan. Here's a good plan. Be calm in the Lord. Be calm in the Lord. Be still in the consciousness of the fact that whatever happens, whatever the appearances of the hour may be, he still has it all in his hand. Be calm in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Someone says, well, how do I do that? Well, the Psalms already told us how you rest in the Lord, you trust in the Lord, you delight yourself in the Lord, and you commit unto the Lord. This enables you to rest in the Lord. You can't rest in the Lord before you trust Him, before you delight in Him, and before you commit. Again, we have an ascending scale here. What does it mean? Rest in the Lord. Well, I believe that is explained in the words that went before. Trust, delight, commit. But it's also explained by what follows. He says, and wait patiently for Him. And that's repeated in verse 9, wait upon the Lord. And that's repeated again in verse 34, wait on the Lord. Seems pretty important, doesn't it? Repeated three times. Isaiah, speaking of God's people, in Isaiah 30 verse 7 says, their strength is to sit still. Their strength is to be calm. Well, the enemy has done this, 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 and now I'm going to do this. Try this. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in Him. Be still. Be calm. Do what's right. Do what's right. You will not fix any problem taking matters into your own hands. You do what's right. Do what's right. Their strength is to sit still. Lamentations 3, verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. It is good that a man should both hope and wait quietly for the Lord. It's also explained. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? It's explained in verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Well, I'll get back at them. I'll show them. And you spend the rest of the day planning. It's not very restful, is it? That'll eat you alive. That'll destroy you. We've run out of time. Again, the text is, fret not because of, but rather rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not because of, regardless of what follows, regardless of what you put on the other side of because of, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Cease from your own ways. Cease from your own ways. All of this is really living in the reality of God. We as God's people, for the most part, are not very good at living in the reality of God. Oh, we can live in reality of the circumstance, so we're good at that. But we're not very good at living in the reality of God. And as you read these things, trust, delight, commit, rest, is it not just living life enjoying God? That's something else we're not very good at. Just living life enjoying God. Well, I could if it wasn't for so-and-so. That's not so. Well, I could if such and such didn't happen. That's not so. You're to live life enjoying God regardless. There are no exemptions here. We're just not very good at it. Living life enjoying God. But it's these things that will give you stability. It's these things that will enable you to stand. It's these things that will give courage and resolve and perseverance. It is these things that keep us close to God. It's these things that keep our hearts tender and responsive to God. It's these things that keep our minds upon God. It's these things that keep our feet following Him. It's these things that keep us in His Word and keep us from sin. And they give us strength and comfort and joy and peace. It's these things that fill our lives with power. And it's these things that will keep us from being mastered and controlled and governed by circumstances. You see, all the people that have bought into Satan's lie, the reason you don't serve God is because of this circumstance or because of this person. I've got news for you. When that circumstance passes or when that person is gone, you will find something else. Because that's not the reason. The reason is a problem with your relationship with God. That's the reason. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Cease from our own ways. What a wonderful way to live life. God help us. God help me more than anybody to live life this way. I can't tell you how many times I have ruined my day because of fretting. Oh, I could say this phone call ruined my day. No, it really didn't. I chose to fret rather than trust. I chose to fret rather than commit. It wasn't the phone call. It wasn't the person. It wasn't the circumstance that ruined my day. It was because of something I did to myself. Fret not thyself. We all have things that upset us, that cause us all kinds of anxiety. How do we deal with it? This psalm tells us. Well, that's easier said than done. Yes, it is. I don't doubt that. But it needs to be done. And life will be much better. Life will be much better. And then the lost world will ask, how can you be so calm? How can you not retaliate? And that opens the door because of God. I don't have to. God will take care of it. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.